Evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the March 5th, 2018 regular Othello City Council meeting. And if you would all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing upon this city and upon the council and the wisdom for the decisions we make. And now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Item 1D is roll call on our agenda, and we have two council members absent. Mark Snyder has had some out-of-town business, and Larry McCourty has had a bad bout of the flu. And so, I would entertain a motion to excuse those two council members tonight.
Make that motion. Second.
Motion's made and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 1E is citizen input. Tonight, is there any citizen who'd like to address the Othello City Council? Please raise your hand, and I will call on you. Okay, hearing none, we'll move to the item 2, which is the approval of our agenda.
I'll make that motion.
All those in favor of approving tonight's agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Then we'll move into our current business. Is there no approval of a consent agenda? Okay. So, we'll move to our current business. And our current business, 3A, excuse me, we just had some new people enter. Were you wishing to address the city council tonight? Okay. Very good. Thank you. All right, I'd like to move to item 3A, which is employee recognition for Sergeant Sean Anderson. And Sergeant Sean, would you please come forward? Want to say a few words? Yep. Okay. Sergeant Sean Anderson joined the Othello Police Department in March of 2008 after attending Columbia Basin Community College. Sergeant Anderson served the citizens of Othello first as a patrol officer and as a detective. Sergeant Anderson was an active member of the Columbia Basin investigative team who utilized his talent at crime scene photography. Sergeant Anderson was assigned as a school resource officer, leaving that post when he was promoted to patrol sergeant in 2017. Sergeant Anderson will receive his first level supervision certification in April of 2018 from the Washington State Criminal Justice Training Commission. Sean and his wife Sandy have 4 kids, and they're all with us tonight along with his parents. And in honor of your 10 years of service to the Othello Police Department, I want to read this plaque presented to Sergeant Sean Anderson in appreciation for your dedicated support to the citizens of Othello from 2008 to 2018. Sean, congratulations. I think AC Riem would like to say a few words, and then I'll let you speak, okay? Excuse me.
Sean, I want to publicly thank you for your service with us tonight. You're a great member of the team. You've been here as long as I've been here. We've been together. I've watched you grow from the patrol officer to the supervisor you are today. I want to express some great gratitude for your flexibility, because I've called you at a moment's notice, and you've come in. I appreciate all you've done, and I look forward to you in the future. Thank you.
It's going to be short and sweet. So I came here with the with the exception, or not with the exception, but only saying, hey, we're going to say, let's try 3 years in Othello. It's kind of small. We don't know if we're going to like it. It's home. This is home. I appreciate the citizens of Othello and the city and how well I've been treated and my family. And I plan on being here as long as you'll allow me to.
Excellent.
Or until I get too old to walk or hold up my belt, you know. And I appreciate it. So I look forward to many, many more years to service.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Thank you.
Yep. Wonderful. Thank you to the whole Anderson family. And now we'll move to item 3B, Apollo Solutions presentation. Tonight we have with us Scott Lewis of Apollo Solutions, and he is going to talk to the city about some energy savings performance contracting that the city could potentially enjoy with solar system. We spend an awful lot of money on electricity to power the pumps that run our water system. And so, Scott, why don't you introduce yourself to the council and take it away.
First of all, thank you very much for allowing me to be here. I want to be respectful of everybody's time, so I'll try to be brief. But if you have any questions, please do let me know, because if you leave here with questions, I haven't done my job. So my name is Scott Lewis. I represent Apollo Solutions Group, and the 5,000-foot view of what we are is an energy service company. We look for ways to reduce energy consumption and ultimately lower utility bills. This could be through any number of measures, such as windows, lighting, HVAC, boilers and chillers, and controls. Also means solar projects as well. And so part of what we do is to provide some analysis to say, this makes sense, this might not make sense, get input from city officials, and just nothing is done without your input. So that's what we're here tonight, to present to you our processes and how we approach projects. And if you like it, then we might want to go forward. So this is a little bit about who we are. We are a division of Apollo Mechanical based out of the Tri-Cities, been around for a long time. The safest contractor in the state of Washington for 9 straight years, and we're pretty proud of that despite the fact that we've got over 1,500 employees. So we're very, very happy about that. And our approach is just to basically be as collaborative as possible with you. If you have anything that you know is a sore thumb and you want us to fix, we can absolutely do that. We don't want to do anything without your blessing or knowledge or consent. And our whole goal is to financially guarantee the results. So if we say something is going to cost a certain amount and we exceed that, that's not out of your pocket, it's out of ours. So at every turn, we approach you and say, here's our ideas, what do you think? So a performance contracting approach is to basically show you projects that are guaranteed energy savings and can be self-funded, meaning that the energy savings goes to pay off either a loan or go right back into your pocket, and there's no out-of-pocket additional for you. So you'll notice the graph down here on the left, you have the cost before. That's what you're currently paying in your utility bills. On anything that we do, hopefully the goal is to reduce your energy consumption, and that chunk that you're already paying to your utility company goes to either fully fund a loan or go right back in your pocket after it's all paid for. So does this part all make sense so this far?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, what we do is not just a study, so our whole goal is to provide long-term solutions. The risk is all on Apollo, and by that, we have to meet your cost-effective criteria, whether that is, facility improvement measures have to pay off the loan. It has to be less than 15 years. These are all things that need to be, addressed with you to say, this is what our goals are. If it doesn't meet this, then we don't owe Apollo anything. And we might either have a project or we might not. We might get to the end of the second step and we might say, well, thanks for coming out, and we'll try again in a few years and see what we come up with. Or we might have a really cool project that you might like and want to move forward. We have three guarantees. We guarantee the cost, the savings, and the performance. If we were to go through and say the lighting in this building would cost $100, and it comes in at $110, that's $10 out of Apollo's pocket. So there's no change orders. Anything that goes beyond what we said is the maximum construction cost comes out of our pocket. Likewise, if it comes in at $90, we return that $10 back to you. So the case I used with Wade and Sean and Ann last week was in the case of St. John. They just completed their solar array. We came in $35,000 under budget, and we returned that all back to them. And the joke I like to say is they might use that for their city council to buy all limousines. I don't know what they want to do with it. But they've got $35,000 that they can spend on however they like to see that. We also guarantee the savings, meaning that if we say we're going to change out the lighting and it's going to save us $10 in this room, and say it comes in at only $8 of savings, we have to write you a check for the difference. So we have to come back to you after a period of a year to 3 years, depending on how long you want to do. We can even do longer than 3 years, but we have to come up with a measurement and verification plan to make sure that we hit our energy savings goals and show you, you know, in a really thick book that we either hit it or we didn't, and here's how we're going to fix it. We want to be your partner long term. We don't want to stick you with a project that you're unhappy with. And as I say, everything is measured and verified, so we can make sure that we hit our savings goals. There are two ways to go about services like this. One is a traditional RFP, RFQ, and ultimately you have to select the lowest bidder, and there's change orders and things of that nature, so the price goes way up. The project might not look the same because you have to cut here and there to make sure that you're staying within the budget. So the other way of going about these services is to go through Department of Enterprise Services, which is a state organization. They help oversee the project. They assign a project manager to make sure that any improvements that Apollo proposes passes the state's inspections. It's got to be, I guess a good long-term fit for you, not just changing out the lighting and just doing a really cheap job. They make sure that everything is down to the penny and substantiated until the very end. So they assign a project manager to make sure that that we're doing good, but also so that you don't have to assign somebody from the city to be able to do that. Whether the project takes 2 months or 8 months, they've got somebody with their eyes on it the entire time, so you guys don't have to. And it also minimizes your risk. So if Apollo comes back with a project and doesn't fit the needs, then you guys can just walk away at any time and say, this is not what we had agreed upon. We haven't had that happen yet, so hopefully we don't encounter that anytime soon. Have you guys worked with Department of Enterprise Services before in anything, or are you familiar with DES?
I'm not.
So here is our five-step process. And so in the very first phase, we do a qualification. So we have to gather 3 years worth of utility analysis and kind of go through and say, you know, on a per building basis, we are spending X amount of dollars here. For the square footage, this seems a little high. What can we possibly do? You might already know some sore thumbs that might need to be addressed, but we would come back to you and say, here's what we propose to fix, and here's our game plan for it. If it makes sense, great. If not, then we pitch that out the window and go a different direction. We also run some numbers on the solar side of things and say, here's what we think we can do as far as a solar array goes. Here's how much we think we can save, ballpark. And then we really get into it. So these first two steps are on Apollo's dime. So we have to give you a project that not only, as I mentioned before, meets your cost-effective criteria. You know, do you want it to be paid for in 10 years, 15 years? We have to set some parameters there and be able to meet those. And then at the end of our preliminary analysis, we come back to you and say, does this need any capital contribution? Is it completely self-funding? If you were to put zero money down, take out a possible third-party loan, and does the loan get fully funded by the energy savings? If it doesn't, and that's not in your cost-effective criteria, then we can just say, thanks for coming out, Apollo. We're not interested. And we try again in a different time. If we're so fortunate to have a project or two or three that gets selected by you folks, we move to this middle part, our blue section here, the investment grade audit, which is where we do have a small fee that does get rolled into the overall cost. And that fee is just basically an engineering services fee to be able to make sure that everything is above board. At that same point, we apply for grants. We have two grant streams right now. One is a private grant through TransAlta, and the other is Department of Commerce, Energy, and Solar grants, which we've been very successful at getting in the past. But we actually can't bill you for anything until we get the grant. So by choosing to move forward with the investment grade audit, we're saying we'd like to go after grants for a period of 1 to 3 years, depending on how long you folks want to keep going after grants. We haven't had anybody last longer than a year to get a grant, so we're very confident that we could possibly turn around a really good grant-worthy project. And then the fourth phase is our construction, which is where once we get the grant, then we start billing for the construction. We take it through from beginning to end so that whether it's a lighting project, controls, it's all overseen by Apollo so that you're not having to go out to bid on all these items. And of course, measurement and verification at the very end. Any questions so far? I feel like I'm going super fast, so I apologize. So I did include two solar project examples. One is for the town of St. John, and the other is for City of Kettle Falls. Both were 100 kW solar arrays. That is the maximum allowed per location. Otherwise, the utility company sees you as a competitor, and they don't have to write you any incentive decks, or they treat you like a competitor. So you don't necessarily want to go there. So we do have some projected project costs for each of them. And then you'll see that we requested 2/3 of the project be covered by a grant, which is fairly crucial. You wouldn't want to do a solar project without a grant because it's going to take over 100 years to pay for itself, and we're not going to be here. So we don't want to stick somebody else with that bill. But you'll see the guaranteed savings on the third line of $13,689. That's generally what you're going to see is in the $12,000 to $15,000 savings range per year. And that can go to take care of well pumps, could take care of any number of things. On the fourth line, you'll see incentives through Avista. These are two Avista clients. They had $5,000 a year for 3 years, where these were now, the incentive plan is very different. So where it was just $5,000 before, they're actually doing incentives based on how much production you have. And the production that we've seen based on a 70 kW system all the way up to 100 is anywhere from $60,000 all the way up to $100,000. So that's where this really makes a lot more sense now to approach versus a couple years ago. Just it wouldn't pencil out to be, you know, a cost-effective project and take care of itself in less than 20 years. So as you see, after you subtract the grant and grant request and incentives, the out-of-pocket to the client was $191,707, and when you divide that by the energy savings on a per-year basis, it paid for itself in 14 years in the case of St. John. That's basically how it all works is if you were to take out a 15-year loan, does that payment get taken in, or does that payment get taken care of? And in this case, yes. In the case of Kettle Falls, did an energy project as well, which took their overall cost down under 15 years, and they were able to take out a loan, and it is being fully funded by the energy savings there. Is this helpful? Does this make sense so far? Are you doing okay? Mm-hmm. We do have other grant successes. We'd love to be able to put you in contact with some of these folks and just kind of say, how did Apollo do? We'd love to be able to, set up a time to do a walkthrough and take a look at facilities, take a look at any areas where solar might be an option, and then come back to you and say, yeah, this can be a good project or it's not. At that point, we have a verification meeting, and then you guys will ultimately say yay or nay. And if we're so fortunate to move forward, we apply for grants and keep moving forward. So.
Okay, Scott, I got a question.
Yes.
So, like for instance, the town of St. John, you had 100 kilowatts. That powered the whole city hall, street lights, water well. I mean, what percent of the city did that in 100 kilowatts take?
So what we do is we set up a net metering agreement. So what they did is they put all of their wells on this net metering agreement. So it basically took away, I think it was about 86% of their well cost, and it drastically reduced, I think it was about $19,000 a year they were paying in their wells, and it reduced it substantially because of that. So we can have it address anything that you really want to. Any city-owned building, we can absolutely have that reduce the cost there.
So convert the 100 kilowatts. If I know what I think I know, 100 kilowatt generation turns into, in a 24-hour period, 2,400 kilowatts?
You know, that's a better question for our engineers. Unfortunately, I don't have a better grasp of that understanding. But yes, it produces a certain number of kilowatt hours per year. So it's up over 110,000, 115,000.
Well, if you're talking about 100 kilowatt, you know, output from a facility like a solar array, for every minute that's pumping out, it's pumping out 100 kilowatts. And each one of those kilowatts has to then accumulate to a kilowatt hour. And in a day, I'm assuming, would be somewhere around 2,400 kilowatts.
I believe that's fairly accurate. Yes, I'm sorry. I wish I had one of my engineers with me tonight, but I'm just the business development person, so I apologize.
Well, that's okay. So in the, like for Avista, the buyback, do you know what it is right now? I mean, you're talking savings of $60,000 because they would, in effect, buy back whatever power we weren't using.
Actually, the way it kind of rolls it back. So they're not buying back any of the power.
Well, you actually meter back into their system.
Yes.
And then they pay you based on what you're metering in.
Right. Right. So there are certain times a year where you're, you know, in December, you're not going to be producing as many kilowatt hours. And so they have credits that accumulate over the summer that, you know, will essentially wipe your utilities out.
How much area do you need for that solar array for the 100 kilowatt hour?
We're looking at about an acre.
One acre?
Yeah. Roughly, yes. And depending on how you want to, configure the array. In the case of St. John, they just did two really long rows. Up in Colville, they did, I think, three rows and then went all the way back. It all depends on how you want to do it. We could do roof-mounted.
Do you like to have them all in one area, or can you spread them out?
We can spread them out. We can absolutely spread them out.
Good. Okay.
Okay. I do have some next steps up here, and I'd love to answer any questions I can hopefully answer without the obvious of an engineer. But basically, if you're interested in this, if we wanted to pass a resolution to move forward and sign an interagency agreement, which there's no financial obligation to Ofello for that, just basically allows you to select a company such as Apollo to take a look at these services. We can perform a preliminary energy audit and then come back to your list of potential projects. And at that point, you can decide to go forward, but there's no out-of-pocket for you to just see what else is out there.
Mm-hmm. Do we need a motion or consensus works?
Well, these council approval, so you have to have a motion to approve the going forward the first two steps, and then like Scott said, you know, then once he'll come back to us with the results and then present those results to council, and we'll do an analysis.
You can put it in the form of a motion that we can vote on.
Okay, go ahead.
Put it in the form of a motion that we can read that states specifically that there's no cost.
Move to approve Apollo to proceed with the first two steps of their solution or the what's of the
interagency agreement.
Agreement. No cost to the city.
Authorize the mayor to sign the IAA. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, it's right up there. Yeah. Council approval to sign the IAA and choose the Apollo Solutions Group as our ESCO at no cost to the city for the first two steps.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Who to go to? You?
It don't matter, John.
What? I said second.
Okay, John second. Okay. So we have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Scott. So we will see you again approximately when?
Hopefully, we'll get the utility release forms sent out, and I'm not sure if Mr. Ferris will head up that one and just get all the utility information. Then we'll, after we get that, we schedule a walkthrough and hopefully be back within 30 days.
Sometime next month, then.
Hopefully.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate you coming down tonight.
You could set them up on all the water towers. You could set them up on the water towers.
Well, there's, it takes an acre, and we talked about this a little bit. You know, we've got 13 acres out there by Well Number 9.
Wow, yeah.
And that's where it's out of sight, and it's in the sunshine, and...
Is that a Vista Power, or is it Big Ben?
I'm not sure. Okay, that's part of the thing they'll analyze, which one it is. But we spend about, since how much do we spend on well and water alone, do we figure on the wells?
Yeah.
So our payback may actually be less, but that'll come out in the analysis.
Okay, we'll move to item 3C, which is update to City Council Rules of Procedure and Conduct. Becky is going to guide us through that.
Mayor and Council, at the last two meetings, we updated our ordinance to update our workshop meetings to a regular meeting. After reviewing all the documentation, I found that we also need to update our City of Othello Council Rules and Procedures to remove the verbiage of a workshop meeting, and also included in that we would restructure the order of the council meeting to reflect what is on board docs, and to add the city administrator to call special meetings, which is in the attachment in board docs.
Any questions, council?
No.
Okay.
Has Kelly seen this? Probably the one suggested it.
This rules procedure, I don't know. Has he looked at this? I think in this case there's a reason for him to look at it. It beats all the RCWs, and mm-hmm. We can have him review it if you'd like, subject to Kelly approval.
So we're basically just making changes to make the workshop match with the other regular meetings.
We're just making the rules and procedures match the ordinance and what we
it's, have. It's our rules and procedures for our council meetings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Motion?
I make the motion to approve the changes to the Othello City Council rules and procedure and conduct.
Second. Motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Becky. Then we'll move to item 3D, grant agreement between the Washington State Department of Agriculture and the City of Othello. Wade?
Yeah, Mayor and Council, I'm sure you remember that the mayor came back from Olympia here a month or so ago with the possibility of a $50,000 grant from the Washington Department of Agriculture. And now, thanks to Meg, she has put this in and got actually researched and gotten the formal agreement that we need with the Department of Agriculture. And what you see now is that agreement. I looked at it again today just to make sure there was no out-of-pocket cost for us for that $50,000. There's no match, you know, $5,000 or $10,000. And it's not, this is just formalizing what we have to do. It's such things as setting up a farmer's market, not study group or whatever, that's not the right words, but just going after the contract.
Feasibility study.
And different things that we have to do to make sure we do them. Some financial stuff we have to do, some contract dates we have to meet, and that sort of thing. And so it formalizes that in order for us to get our $50,000 and get the grant approved, hopefully. And the mayor signs it, and Derek Sanderson, he's the Secretary of Agriculture, I think, signs it, and hopefully we'll get our money. It also looks like, as I looked at it, it also pays for some of Meg's fees, I believe, which is good. And so we don't have to worry about the first month or two of her fees from this. So she's already paying for herself, which is a good thing. So, but we do have to formalize this as all grants. We have to get council approval to proceed forward with this, and that's what we need to move forward. So we staff's recommended, of course, that you guys approve this. Questions?
Thank you, Wade. Is there a motion?
I make the motion to approve the grant agreement with the Washington State Department of Agriculture for the Farmers Market Feasibility Study.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now we'll move to item E, agreement with Robert W. Droll, landscape architect for the Lions Park project. And Amy spent a good share of her Saturday with this landscape architect. And so, Amy, take it away.
Good evening. As the mayor said, I did spend a good portion of my Saturday with Mr. Droll, and we spent a majority of our day walking through Lions Park. The beginning of our visit, we identified some current projects that the city is interested in, which is the spray park and the potential of a restroom. And towards the end of the visit, we looked at the rest of the park and sort of identified other opportunities to create change and or improvements to other areas that exist. Mr. Droll came highly recommended by Meg, who's, as you know, doing quite a bit of work for us over in Olympia. When we came back to City Hall, we watched a presentation that included several other examples from cities across the state of Washington, big cities, small cities, just about any type of city you could imagine. And he highlighted some of the projects that he had been able to secure grant funding for, from trails to waterfront to splash pads, athletic fields, you name it, he's probably seen it. I believe that with the help of Mr. Droll and Meg, that we have created a sort of dream team during this grant project. Meg is going to help us secure a lot of the funding, but Robert is going to be able to help us out on the ground end of things. So he is going to design some of the projects or put us in contact with people who we need to work with to solidify those projects. And I think that it would be great for the efforts of this next grant cycle and grant cycles going forward to have his services enlisted.
Thank you, Amy. I think, you know, with his help, he's the one that helps round out the rest of, you know, while Meg is a grant writer, this is the gentleman who has been through the process as well, but he also is the one who does the drawings and does the bidding documents, and then you look in the agreement, the different things that he is going to do in this scope of work. He also estimates the cost of this splash park and what type of improvements are going to be needed. And Meg mentioned to me that she wanted me to mention to the council that if we are going to apply for this grant and get this splash park in Othello, it's absolutely essential that we get the services of this Mr. Droll. And overall, he isn't just looking at this particular project, he's looking at a master park plan where we look and go through all the different areas of the park as Amy described, and we begin to set forward a plan of all the different improvements we'd like to see. I know there's bathrooms, I know there's ball field improvements, I know there's playground improvements, I know there's
outdoor stage,
and the success that this gentleman, I forgot to mention Ann was with us all day as well, the success that this man has had with these type of projects is known throughout the state of Washington, and I believe there was some information about him. But if you want to go to his website, it's rwdroll.com. And these are some of the different projects that he highlighted. But he's been doing this for 39 years. So is there any questions of Amy or me or Wade? Yeah.
Two things before you guys ask questions. One, this is sort of on a fast track because it's the grant requests are due 1 May. And there's still some steps we have to do prior to 1 May that's going to be. Take some time. So that's why it's on fast track, and there was not a chance to meet with the Parks Committee. The other piece is you look at the contract. Kelly and I have been going back and forth all day on this. various things, and we finally, with Bob on this, and there's one sticking point, and that's with WCIA, I have not had a chance to get with them on paragraph H under Article 8, and that's the insurance companies, our insurance carriers' approval. So I need to do that. So any motion will have to be subject to our insurance carriers' approval. It shouldn't take but a day or two once I get this to them, now that we're down to this final thing. So those are the only two inputs I had on this.
Okay. So any motion then, council, would need to be subject to our insurance carrier approval.
Funding.
Yeah, I see that it's marked as Parks and Rec Reserve Fund. Do we have that money there?
Yeah, so I was going to bring that up. We have two Parks and Rec Reserve Funds. One is a property reserve fund that we typically be using for property purchases or reserving for that purpose. Mm-hmm. And the first is Fund 103, General Fund Administration Reserve Fund. This is where we have $273,000. $100,000 of that is what we set aside last year for a new bathroom. So that leaves $173,000 for this money that we previously had. We were looking at for a community center on the charter.
Well, this is right in line with that. Yes. I mean, you can't have one without the other. So. Okay.
So I think that's a good fit for that. So.
All right. That's it for me.
Yeah, that was my question too. Would be funding.
All right. So we have a stipulation, and we have a place where we're going to fund it. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the agreement with Robert W. Droll Landscape Architect for the Lions Park project.
Subject to
approval by WCIA approval.
Second. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried unanimous. Okay, let's move to item 3F, Park and Rec Program Overview. And Amy was going to do this a while ago, but got sick. Well, no. It wasn't time.
I had eye surgery is what I did have. And so if I'm looking at it didn't go so great. So I still don't see excellent. So bear with me if I squint or look at you. I'm not angry. I'm just trying to focus in on you. I was planning to do this in February for the mayor's request. I sat down and had a meeting with him and was explaining what was going on in our department. And I think it surprised him a little bit to see all the things that were going on, and per his recommendation, I started putting this together, and I think that it sort of surprises me when I put all in one presentation all of the things that are going on. So that's what I'm here to talk about with you tonight.
Take it away.
I shall. We have three major programming opportunities right now inside the Parks and Rec Department. One of them is through Skyhawk Sports Camps. We began hosting these camps last summer. We have NFL Flag Football League, and we have our Youth Baseball and Softball League. I'll start with the Skyhawk Sports Camp. Skyhawks comes out of Spokane. That's where their regional office is. The way their program works is they work with cities. Cities provide the opportunity for them to come into the community and offer different sorts of sports programs within the community. For being the gracious host that we are, we get 10% of the registration fees, and that's about as complicated as that gets. I help advertise, and they pay for all of the resources. They make all the photocopies that go out to the school. I duplicate everything that they make onto Facebook, and we call it our own. And we are able to offer a variety of sports programs that we get to pick specific to our community with very little cost and effort on our part. In 2017, we offered a full-day basketball camp, flag football camp, and soccer camp, as well as some mini-hawk sports camps that are aimed towards younger children. Our income was $581 that we didn't have before we had the program. So not only did it add a little bit to the recreation revenue department, but it also created opportunities for kids to stay busy during the summer. In those sports camps, there's a half-day option and a full-day option. Maybe one of my favorite parts of the full-day option is it's an afternoon full of swimming. So in conjunction with our community pool, we offer the full-day sports program in the morning. So the kids, for example, would play soccer for 3 hours, take a lunch break with the Skyhawks camp coaches, and then those coaches bring them in and supervise them at the swimming pool as part of their date full-day pass. And that's great for our community pool, because when we've got kids swimming in the pool, that means that when people drive by, it's an attractive place to want to be. You know, you see all the kids smiling and having a good time, and it makes other people want to go. In 2018, so this year, we offered a winter sports sampler in January. We had 39 kids attend, half day for the younger kids and a full day for the older kids, and they got introduced to 5 sports during that time period. It's a basic introduction, but for some kids, it's an opportunity to try something that they've never tried before, and it's a great opportunity for Skyhawks to showcase some of the programs that they have, so as they come up as a full camp later on, kids know which sport they particularly liked because of the sampler. We have another one scheduled on March 17th, so we're looking forward to that last one as we begin to kick off our summer programming. For our summer programming this year, we're going to go with 5 football and soccer again. Those were our 2 most popular out of the ones we did last year. We're also going to try a multi-sport camp that's going to have dodgeball, capture the flag, and ultimate frisbee. Those are all sports that are off the beaten track, and so I'm excited to see if there's an interest in that or if maybe we should just stick to the more traditional sports, but it sounds like a lot of fun to me, so we're going to give it a try. We'll also have 2 more of the mini hockey camps. Again, those are aged range from 4 to 7 years old, so those kids aren't trying to compete with 12-year-olds. They're tailored down to their skill level. I'm estimating that we can probably double our income that we have from last year, because we are doubling the number of camps that we had from last year, and so that's our hope. We had a lot of positive feedback from parents, and the coaches love coming to this area. And as a result, we've actually hired, or Skyhawks has hired, a local man to sort of represent our community for them, so he can help with organizing the camps here in town and fill in as a coach if he needs to, and help me kind of get a pulse on what the community is looking for. So this program is growing, and we've found a lot of success. Some of my favorite parts outside of the sports portion of it, attitude is everything is their theme for every lesson that they teach. You don't have to be a great athlete if you have a great attitude. That'll take you a long way. There's also a big focus on sportsmanship, and then of course there's the sports skills. Next is the NFL Flag Football League. As you know, Nina Gonzalez joined our team last year, and in the fall, this was a project that she was really excited about, and I let her have it, the whole thing. I didn't do anything with it. And she was very successful in planning her first spring flag football league. Last spring, we had 33 kids. We only ran the program for ages 5 to 8. We ran it at the same time that the Grid Kids program runs, so we intentionally didn't expand to the older ages as to not conflict with the program that was already in place. We brought in about $1,650 in revenue, and of that, the profit was about $330. We had to invest in equipment and paint for the fields, and then there's a $25 fee per child that goes to the NFL League to supply them with a 2-sided team jersey, which is very cool. The coaches got to choose what team they wanted to be, and it was a lot of fun to watch. This spring, that was just next week, is the first game. We have 69 kids that are registered, so we tripled our registration from the spring. We did extend the ages out to 12 years old. Games are Tuesdays and Thursdays in the evenings, and they'll play underneath the lights at Lions Park. We brought in about $3,500 in revenue, and I expect to profit about 40% since most of the equipment's already purchased and we have paint left from last season. So we should be spending less than we did on the previous season. We also will be planning a fall league again, so our plan is to offer this program twice a year in the spring and in the fall. We will continue to offer this program at this time from ages 5 to 12 in the fall. Our goal is 80 kids. which would be an estimated $4,000 in revenue, and if we hang on to that 40% profit margin, we'll be bringing in an additional $1,600 in revenue. Some of the program details, it's a co-ed sport, and it's a low-risk, non-contact sport, so it creates an opportunity for maybe kids that aren't interested in tackle football or even soccer sometimes can be a little aggressive. I was interested to watch the 5 to 8 years old last year and see how they did, and it was minimal injuries happening, mostly little kids falling all on their own. Coaches had a great time. This is something that's new to everybody. We don't have a lot of flag football coaches running around, so I think there was a little bit of nervousness about what exactly was going to happen, but the kids really played well together and the games were a lot of fun to watch. Our goal is to run the program from ages 5 to 12 from now on. Like I said, we're playing at Lions Park underneath the lights in the outfields of the baseball fields right now. Our coaches are volunteers. We're still looking for one more 9 to 12 year old coach if anybody's dying to get out on the football field this season. And I believe that in the next cycle up for budget, I will be asking for this to be a permanent program added to the budget going forward, much like we have football, or much like we have baseball and softball right now. On that note, we'll move into our youth baseball and softball league. So Babe Ruth is our softball league, and Cal Ripken is what our boys 12 and under play for baseball. The Othello Youth Baseball and Softball League in 2017, we had 502 players. We brought in a total revenue of $30,000, and we lost and planned to lose about $8,000 for startup costs, of most of that being equipment. We had very minimal loss of equipment. I'm actually not sure of a single piece of equipment that we didn't get back or we got back broken. So the only equipment that we'll have to purchase this year would be if we had more majors teams than we did last year or more t-ball teams than we did last year. We may have to compensate on some of those pieces. For this year, we have 515 players registered, so we saw a little bit of growth in 2018. I'm hoping that our overall profit is about $2,700. We did go back to the drawing board on a couple of different ideas that didn't work and did work last year. The uniforms, we had planned to get pants back from players and reuse those pants. That was not effective. And keeping track of who turned in their pants and who didn't turn in their pants proved to be very challenging. So this year we worked to reduce the cost of the uniform, and as a result of the fee increase that we implemented for 2018, raising the registration fee just slightly, I have no concerns or worries that we're going to come in where we need to on letting the kids keep their whole uniform and not having to chase down pants any longer. I think it was a great idea, but we've also been working with City Hall staff to minimize the impact of registration. So in 2017, all 502 of those players came in and registered in person, in City Hall, in the lobby, and or in here, and it was pretty hectic. So this year we went to an online registration process through Sports Illustrated Play. It's a website that's used for many different sports across the board and fortunately can be used for any sports that we want to implement in our department. As a result of that, the dollars brought in on the online registration was about $17,500, and the amount that we collected at City Hall was just over $3,000. So it did exactly what we were looking for. Like any first-year transition, I think there were some opportunities that we take away working with the staff at City Hall as what we can do better. Not everybody was familiar with the registration system or was confused that it was online, so there was a little bit of a learning curve there. But I believe that as we move forward, it'll just become the new normal. In addition to the spring 2018 league, much like football, we will offer two seasons of baseball. The fall 2018 program will be in place of the All-Stars program that we had in the past. The All-Stars program was a baseball and softball team with 12 players that were selected out of the majors division to travel around the state and represent Othello ultimately in the state tournament for their respective age group. The All-Stars team was very cost prohibitive. We spent a considerable amount of money on uniforms. There were a lot of requirements that cost a lot of extra money for 24 kids to travel around and play on their own. So in order to create an opportunity that was available for all players, we have decided to not have an All-Stars team this year and instead have a fall ball team so that those kids that are looking to play longer into the season can come back again and play with us in the fall. Again, those are all estimated and projected numbers for fall ball because we've never had anything like it. So we will be excited to see what the actual outcome is of that. We're still working with Mattawa. Mattawa still comes and plays in the Othello League, so they have their own teams formed in Mattawa. They practice in Mattawa, and they come and play in Othello. My goal was to reach out to some other communities this year, but amidst the online registration process, we had enough to chew on with just that change. So I've held off my plans to reach out to Connell, Soap, or Royal City, Warden, Mesa, Basin City. There's a lot of other small communities around us that might be interested in the same kind of program that Mattawa has going on. So there's an opportunity for us to grow the league next year. We still utilize our local sponsors to help offset the cost for teams. They are a $200 sponsorship. Many of the people sitting in this room have contributed to our program, and we're very appreciative of that. We use volunteer coaches for all of our teams. Most of them are parents that are enjoying the opportunity to coach their kids, which I'm sure some of you have had the chance to do, and it's a lot of fun to watch not just your kids but other kids grow so much in one season. We also offer some youth employment opportunities by way of umpiring. So the majors teams are officiated by umpires. Last year we provided opportunities for four of our young people in this community to come and umpire for us. We had a lot of positive feedback from the community after we took the league over last year and ran it for our first year. We had very little negative feedback, as a matter of fact, and so some of the opportunities that we found were opportunities that we identified ourselves, not from people in the community, which was very reassuring that we made the right decision. The next thing I'll move into is our special events. So special events are events that are above 150 people, and sky's the limit from there. We have two types of special events. We have a large special event and a small special event. These events are on the calendar right now. 4th of July, the All Cities Classic Car Show, the Farmers Market, Relay for Life will be in Pioneer Park this year instead of in Lions Park. There's some other possibilities would be an expanded Chicano State Park event. So Chicano State's men's softball tournament was awarded some funds from the LTAC money this year. And Charles is looking for some great ways to expand the softball tournament into something more than just softball. So I've been working with him. We're not exactly sure what that's gonna look like quite yet, but there will be something more. I've invited the Seahawks to come through again on their 12th man tour. That was a big success last year. And Encanto Sunset Concert in the Park expressed interest in coming back and having another evening concert in the park again. Per council's recommendation last year, the circus is looking for an alternative location as opposed to being in Lions Park. As dates grow closer, I will keep you abreast of that knowledge. If they are unable to secure another location, there's a chance I could be coming back and asking if your approval is there to have them in Lions Park. But as it stands right now, we will not have the circus in the park. We'll also likely have a handful of church events and probably a couple of small events, quinceañeras and weddings and things like that that come up in the park. These are reservations for the ball fields. So the Sports Forum is a youth sports league that comes out of Yakima. They host baseball tournaments here every year. We have two on the calendar for them. The Moses Lake Adult Softball League has decided to move their tournament series to Othello this year, so we will be hosting all five of their tournaments here in Othello at our complex. Again, like I mentioned, we have Chicano State coming again, and the O-Town Bombers, as most of you have probably seen something on Facebook here or there, is our local youth boys tournament team, and they're actually hosting a doubleheader on two fields this Sunday, so they're already out in action, and they're looking for a weekend that works alongside their ball schedule to host something of an invitational here in Othello. So if you mix all of those dates together between just the things we've talked about so far, our own baseball league, our own football league, all of the special events, all of the baseball tournaments and softball tournaments that are coming into town, I would say that the Parks and Recreation calendar is looking robust at this time. So I'm really pleased to share with you that information. The last little bit that I'd like to talk to you about is the pool. I am pleased that council had made the decision to adopt the fee schedule that was proposed in January. I believe that the decision was made because we saw that there was an opportunity to manage funds in a more appropriate way. And as a result of that, I'm looking forward to seeing the results of that at the end of this fiscal year, knowing that the decisions that we made are going to positively impact our budget. So just to kind of give you a little bit of a glimpse for pool programs, in 2016, the overall loss for the pool was about $147,000. In 2017, it rose to $186,000, and in 2018, it's projected to be about $194,000. This is just one slide that I think should confirm the decision that you made to mitigate the loss as much as possible. We have decided to stair-step increases for the next 5 years, as you remember, to help close that gap. Our pool programs that we currently have at the pool right now, swim lessons in 2017 brought in $9,455 on a budget of $7,000. Previous year was $7,719, so we saw tremendous growth in the swim lessons program. So much, in fact, that we've sort of hit the limit of the number of swim lesson sessions we can offer. There's a limited number of seats in the class, to the limited number of instructors, to a limited number of space in the pool, to the limited numbers of hours in the day. So this year we're looking for small pockets of time that may create an opportunity for us to add more to the schedule that we have. There have been several inquiries about special needs swim lessons, and so I'm trying to work something into the program to where kids that need a smaller teacher to student ratio or a more individualized style of learning can still come and experience swim lessons and water safety training at our facility. We offer morning and evening sessions right now, so we have 2 hours in the morning, which allows us to offer 4 sessions, and 1 hour in the evening, which allows us to offer 2 sessions. And we maximize every square inch of the pool that we can based off of the skill that's being taught in any given level. We also added adult swim lessons last season by popular request. There are a lot of adults that don't know how to swim. A few adults joined kids' classes and had no issues with it, but there was a handful of adults that wanted an adult class, so we did offer an adult swim lesson class, and that was very well attended. We also have family night. Family night's on Wednesday night. We have a great turnout when the weather's warm, a little less great of a turnout when the weather's not warm. It's dark for most of family night, so you can't rely on the sunshine too much, so it's got to be a nice warm day to sort of carry over some of that temperature. This year, we're looking for ways to develop that program. We have some ideas of swim races, diving to the bottom of the pool to see how many rings you can collect, relays, splash contests, things like that, just to keep it fun and keep families wanting to come and stay entertained. And then we also have lap swim. We have lap swim in the morning from 6 to 7 o'clock for a nice brisk way to start your day. And then we also have a swim time from 11 to 12 that's meant for lap swims only. Any age can participate during that time, but it's not a recreational swimming, it's just for lap swim. There have been many requests for an adult fitness class or water aerobics or something of that nature for a long time. I think year after year. The challenge that I face is the same challenge that I go back to with the swim lessons. You know, there's like only so many hours of the day, and making the decision to close the pool early for a fitness class or not close the pool or take away a swim session has just kind of been a really difficult thing to juggle. So there's a possibility that we could find some new pockets of time. And if that's the case, we'll fill those up with all of the things that people have been requesting up until now. The last thing on my list to talk to you about is the concession stands. So I put together this graphic for you, pool and park concessions. So the park concession is the ball field's concession stand, and the pool is obviously the concession stand there at the pool. 2017 was not only our first year embarking on a baseball journey, but our first year embarking on a concession stand at a baseball journey. As you can see, we were not profitable in either of those departments. Much of that can be attributed to the minimum wage increase. During the budget season, our Parks and Recreation Council Committee and Spencer and Wade and Terry and myself spent what felt like an enormous amount of time to me scrutinizing the numbers, figuring out what we should do, what we shouldn't do, where to pull back, where to add more. So some of the changes that we have implemented for this year to help close the gap in, at the pool in particular, is we have changed the menu to a heat and serve menu so we can reduce the staff in the concession stand down to one person. So all of the menu offerings at the pool will either be ambient temperature prepackaged or frozen prepackaged, so that the person who is handling the money can also pass the food over the counter. We've, for a very long time, for as long as I've known, we've always had the kids microwave their own frozen burritos and pretzels and things like that, but we did serve nachos and hot dogs, and that requires a second person being in the concession stand. This year, minimum wage is at $11.50 an hour, plus we are going to get to pay those employees sick time as a benefit as well. So for every 40 hours they work, they will get 1 hour of paid sick leave. Next year, it goes up again, and the year after that, it goes up again. And it makes it tremendously difficult to operate a business where you're selling candy for 50 cents and bags of chips for a dollar. So, the difference here in 2017 and 2018, as you can see, the $8,000 projected difference, about $8,000 of that money was attributed to the second person in the concession stand. That still leaves us an opportunity to create more sales or to reduce the amount of cost on the food that we do sell. But this was the step that we decided to make this year for the pool. There was a lot of conversation on both extremes of closing the concession stands down and not offering any service, or expanding the concession stand and offering a bigger menu to try to create a larger income base. Neither of those two options seemed appropriate at the time, so we made a small change that we'll be able to see at the end of this year, the impact that it was able to have on the budget. In 2017 at the park, we had a loss of $4,000 again. A lot of that attributed to the two or sometimes three concession stand workers that it requires to run the park concession. The volume at the park is much higher than the volume of customers at the pool. So at any given time, you can have hundreds of people down at the ball fields, and especially in between transitions of games, there's a big long line. So this year we're working a little bit more stringent on our labor model so that we're making sure to maximize everybody's efforts in the concession stand and try to reduce the amount of cost. I didn't change any of the numbers for 2018 park. Right now, the way it stands on the budget says that those are the estimated revenue and estimated cost. Those are the same numbers that we had in 2017. and you can see that the loss was $3,000 less than anticipated. I don't anticipate a loss being $7,000. I, in fact, expect it to be a little less, but I felt unsure of saying just exactly what I could predict. I've been in the pool concessions long enough to where I think I have a pretty good handle on what we're going to expect down there with the reduce of labor. I'm not sure what to expect at the ball fields this year, but what you can expect from me is that I'll do the best that I can to control the labor costs and make sure that we are being very frugal with any of the decisions that we make down there. I believe that this year, at the end of our season at the pool and the park sort of simultaneously end, that the council committee and Wade and Spencer and Terry and I will probably spend an enormous amount of time again figuring out if we made the right decisions, the best decisions, and going forward what the next decisions will be. Concession stands do provide some positives, although that was a very negative slide. They provide a food service for the community. So people that go to the pool, that drop their kids off there for the whole day as the babysitter, you know, they have a place to eat. People that hang out at the park can go and get nachos at the pool on the park side window. It's kind of sacrilegious to watch a baseball game and not have sunflower seeds or hot dogs or nachos. So it sort of feels like a must have down at the ball fields. It does provide employment for the young people in our community. So not only do the athletic programs provide an opportunity for our youth to be doing something, but the employment opportunities for kids that are 16 and 17 years old, I think those are really valuable. And I think that working for a city is a pretty great job for a first job. And it looks great on a resume, and it looks great on a future job application if they've worked for the city. And so I like to think that we have a little bit to do with some of the success of the employees that have come through. It also, the concession stand again down at the baseball park really does add value to a weekend event. All those field rentals that I mentioned, part of the reason that they love coming here is because the concession stand is open for business and people don't have to pack in all of their food from the car and ice chests and all of that. They can come and they can just enjoy themselves. And so that is something that's really attractive to out-of-town events that come in. I didn't spend any time talking about the future. I didn't spend any time talking about my dreams and my hopes for the department, what I'd like to see grow, because I didn't want to waste all of your guys' time on that. I think that there's an infinite amount of opportunities that we can have in our department. I have been approached by literally every sports organization in Othello that's being privately ran right now, and have been asked to take over in some capacity, either the program in full, the registration process, the organizational side of things. Somehow, what we've done in the community through the Parks Department has really made an impact, and people see value in what we have to offer, and they want us to be part of what they offer in the community. I think we have to be really careful of how many of those projects we take on, and those need to be balanced very well with the amount of time that your staff has to give. But I think that those should all be taken as compliments, that we're doing the right thing for the community. Do you have any questions?
Council? Well done, Amy. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm really happy. Good job.
Okay.
You've taken what I thought we should be doing in the first place and made it into something really good, so keep it up. And if we have to staff up because there's other opportunities, then we'll look at that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving to item four, is there any committee reports? Item five, is there any unfinished business? Did the council receive their email with regard to the draft copy of the I think Wade sent it out, the draft of the planning meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
What?
The strategic plan.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got it.
If you guys could just give me some
think of the name, but yes, the strategic
the
plan.
Inputs. I appreciate it. I can work on it. And then, like I said, a future workshop then perhaps in April. Workshop or whatever we call it these days, the first.
Well, we're already actually going after some of the things that were on that list.
We are, which is good, look through it.
I don't know if that was inadvertently done, or if somebody was thinking about it, but...
It gave us some direction of where to go, that's when we started hiring the people we did, and pursuing, you know, a good team to make it happen.
So we need to get that out in front of the public.
Well, we need to clean it up, there's some, and make some good inputs, and...
Refine it, and, because some of the language is kind of...
Exactly, so if you guys could give me your inputs, if you see anything that you want to add, or subtract, or change the language, or whatever, please get that to me, I'll try and get it cleaned up by the first part of April, if possible, so we can use it.
Item six, is there any new business tonight come for the council? Hearing none, I'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:41 PM.